That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
I bet you didn't know there's a new gang in town. And odds are you or someone you know has bought into its ideology, part and parcel. We're talking today about the cult of victimhood. And yes, I said cult on purpose because it's the best way to describe this phenomenon that's going on. You might know it by its fancier name, identity politics, but either way you slice it, buying into this line of thinking is super divisive and destructive. It separates people into two groups, victims and oppressors. And here's the problem. There's no hope for change. But we know as believers, as followers of Christ, there's no hopeless situations in Christ. So how do we get from here to there? I'm going to give you two ways today to know if you have become what I like to call an honorary member of this cult. And then I'm going to give you two ways to escape, to think biblically, to get back on solid ground in this area of your life. Before we dive into the slippery slope of victimhood, I want to clarify something. Real victims absolutely exist. Whether by the impact of the sin of others, I like to think of this like, I call it sin shrapnel, where a grenade of sin, someone else's sin, has exploded in the room and you have got a shard of metal in your leg because of that explosion and it hurts. It's painful. You have to go get it removed and get stitches. And this is nothing you've done. You're impacted by the sin of someone else. So real victims exist from the sin of others. Also from natural disasters or disease or basically the impact of the general sin in the world. So people's houses get blown apart by hurricanes and tornadoes, not their fault. So please hear me. If you are a real victim, I am not discounting the things that have happened to you. In fact, God despises anyone who victimizes another person. He actually commands us not to abuse or oppress each other. Zechariah 7:10 says, "Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." So let me repeat, if someone has wronged you, if you've been hurt or harmed or sinned against, I'm not looking to downplay your experience. What I want to give you is hope, because no matter what you've walked through, I'm going to show you a better way today to live, to think, and to find joy that's not at all dictated by your experience. What we're addressing today specifically on this show is the victim mentality. So this is the lens through which you're viewing your situation. The things that have happened to you, the things you've experienced, this is the mindset that you have about those things. And here's the tricky part. You can be a victim and not have the victim mentality. By this, I mean bad stuff's happened to you, but you don't allow what's happened to you, your experience, to dictate your thinking or your behavior or your responses or even the way that you feel. On the flip side, there are some people that actually are not victims, but they want to think like they are, and they want everybody else to know it too. I'm sure you're thinking of someone, maybe even yourself right now, that has bought into this mentality. And in the culture that we're in currently, the problem is this victim mentality is not only applauded, but it's completely normalized. So we have to take a hard look and be honest with ourselves and with God, which you might as well do because he already knows your heart better than you do anyway. Check Jeremiah 17:9-10 on that. So let's stop mentally defending ourselves for a minute. And I want you to think honestly about your thoughts and your heart. Remember, I'm not here to make you feel bad or condemn you. I'm here to tell you the truth about God's word and to show you a better way. And isn't that what you're here for anyway? Because I'm guessing what you've been doing, how you've been thinking is not working. So listen, there's two parts to the cult of victimhood. I'm going to keep saying cult because it's very accurate and helps us think rightly about this mentality. These two parts that concern me the most. And I see these things as a biblical counselor all the time. These are going to be our two mindsets that we're going to discuss today that's going to quickly reveal if you've joined the victimization team, maybe without even realizing it. Mindset number one, you think you're stuck. Because this thing happened to you, now your life looks like this. So if this is you, you might find yourself stirring the pot of your mind. So you keep repeating the story, the events, what he said, what she said, how it transpired over and over and over in your head. You're stirring up your memories and emotions. And here's the thing, we like to stew in it, don't we? I mean, maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, but stirring that pot sometimes makes us feel a little better. Everyone's against us. Life is against us. There's nothing we can do. Nothing I should do. In fact, I'm powerless. This is out of my control. This is an outright lie. It's an outright lie about you as a person because you are made in the image of God. It's demeaning and dehumanizing. And maybe that's what makes my blood boil most about it is this way of thinking, this you are stuck, you are always a victim, locks someone into their victim experience with no hope of escape. This is a lie about God. You are not stuck. This way of thinking deems God kind of subordinate to the things that have happened in our lives. So he's not quite big enough to be bigger than what we've experienced. You see these two lies, and you can probably understand why it frustrates me so much. The other mindset I want to talk about today is you might think that you're blameless. You're not to blame. Somebody else did this to you. And as a result, there's no reason to take responsibility because it wasn't your fault. You don't have to respond differently or take any action. In fact, you're innocent. The other person is the guilty one. They've got to fix it. They need to own up. And you have the right to respond however you want because they wronged you. Even more than that, you don't deserve any consequences here. This sounds a lot like Adam when he blamed Eve and ultimately God in the garden. We're really quick to pass the buck, aren't we? As fast as possible. To everyone and anyone around us. I'm sure you've heard the term blame shifting. That's what we're talking about here. Our mentality also might be that we have the right to a good marriage, a boss who treats you nicely, well-behaved kids. And if we don't have those things, if we're quote unquote victims to these people in our lives, it's not our fault. It's your husband's fault or your boss's fault or your kid's fault. If only they would change, everything would be better. This leads to a woe is me, self-pity, constantly seeking sympathy trajectory. And everyone around you hears it all the time, how awful your husband is, how mean your boss is, how exhausted your kids make you. I want to submit to you today that the Bible says the exact opposite of both of these mindsets. Number one, you are not stuck. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. My friend, if you are a Christian, a true follower of Christ, if you've experienced saving faith, you've been set free from the bondage of sin. So guess what? You're free to say yes to obedience to Christ, which means you can and you should respond differently. Differently than how you've responded all your life. Differently than the world even says that you should respond to whatever this situation or experience that you have had is. You're called to keep standing firm and not subject yourself again to the bondage of sin. Number two truth, you are responsible. While Satan and evil and spiritual warfare, definitely real stuff. I'm not discounting those things. Please stop blaming the devil for your sin, my friends. He's not God. He's not everywhere all the time. He He can only be in one place at one time. And I like to remind myself often, I am not that important. Satan is not spending all his time attacking me. And the same goes for you. While we're not responsible for the actions of others, we are responsible for our responses, even to the most horrible, awful, egregious, evil things that have happened to us. When others sin against us, we're not off the hook. We have to respond biblically. Here's the reality. Permanent victimhood is like the ultimate sanctification killer, y'all. It simply says that our suffering, whether it's real or imagined, takes precedence over God's commands, is greater than the lordship of Christ. It makes the experience that we have had or think we have had bigger than God. And this is a huge problem. So when we come back from the break, we're going to tackle a couple of specific sections of scripture that I'm hoping will set you on the fast track out of that victim mentality, your one-way ticket out of the cult of victimhood, and plant your feet soundly back on the path of righteousness. We need the word of God to illuminate our path. It's a lamp unto our feet, right? I'm going to guarantee you that you're going to experience joy and peace like never before, even in light of the sin that was committed against you. So meet me back here right after the break and we'll talk more.
And we'll be back with Libby in just a moment. You know, as she's talking about overcoming a victim mentality with biblical thinking, I'm reminded of Stressed Out from the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's written by our very own Todd Friel. And when we find ourselves caught in cycles of focusing on past hurts and circumstances, anxiety is something that often follows. And this resource from Todd goes straight to God's word for the answer. Stressed Out by Todd Friel, available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of practical application, let me tell you something that can strengthen your walk every single day. It's the Fortis Plus app. I love sharing this with people because it's completely free, absolutely free. We post every single day 7 pieces of new content that will help you navigate everything from personal struggles to cultural challenges from a biblical worldview. You're going to get access to hundreds of hours of content that will equip you to live confidently in Christ. It's the Fortis Plus app. It's available at fortisplus.org. You can also download the app to your mobile device. Again, absolutely free of charge. Won't cost you anything. And if you're a Fortis Insider, you get a daily email with all of the content that we're posting for the day. That's free to sign up for as well. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of living confidently in Christ, we see what's happening with our culture, right? The world just keeps pushing messages that lead people to find their identity in their struggles and circumstances and everything else we can think of. But we here at Fortis Institute, we refuse to stand by and watch it happen. We refuse to be silent. That's why we've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help equip you and your local church to navigate these tough times with biblical truth. But we can't do that alone. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us to continue creating resources that show you there's a better way, God's way. And when you partner with us, you're helping us to reach more people with the truth that our identity isn't found in circumstances, but in. So if you're not currently strapped by any type of unmanaged debt, and if you're giving faithfully to your local church, we would be honored to have you join us in this mission. You can visit fortisinstitute.org right now to get all of the answers to any questions that you could have about what it would possibly look like in your life to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner with Fortis Institute. That's fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Miss Libby Glosson as she continues to show us God's better way. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glosson.
Well, welcome back. Okay, so we've been talking about the cult of victimhood today, and how the victim mentality is so incredibly destructive. And we came to the conclusion that we really need to examine our lens or our mindset when it comes to thinking about this biblically. So I'm going to let you in on a little personal information here. My family teases me often, and they say that I need one of those big buttons where when you press it, it says a phrase. And they say that my button would be one that says, "That's not biblical," when you press it. So I would say that mindsets about victimhood that would have me pressing the "that's not biblical" button on repeat are the two that we've been talking about today. Number one, that you think or believe that you're stuck, which leads to hopelessness. And then number two, that you think or believe that you're blameless, which absolves you of any responsibility. And we read what the Bible says. Number one, you are not stuck. And number two, you are responsible. So now what? So how do you start thinking and responding in a biblically faithful way to really quite possibly some very real stuff that's happened to you? Did you know that God is way more interested in your redemption than he is your relief? God is not on a 24/7 war path to relieve you of all suffering. He's actually about the business of redeeming you, of sanctifying you, and making you more like Christ. So how does he do this through difficult situations? Well, let's look at a few scripture verses to see where the Bible leads us in this. 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, for though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." So the necessary suffering, 1 Peter is talking about that we may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, has a purpose. And that is the proven genuineness of your faith and the resulting praise, glory, and honor of Jesus Christ. All right, so what about James 1:12? "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." James not only says that we're blessed when we persevere under trial. Remember, God's not always about relieving us from situations. He also said it's necessary for us to stand the test in order to receive the crown of life. All right, so we're seeing a pattern of redemption, not relief. How about Romans 5:3-5? It says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us." And lastly, 1 Peter 5:10, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." You see the necessary suffering at the beginning of that verse and the redemption to follow. So what do we learn from these verses? We learn that suffering is to be endured. So the way of escape mentioned here is really not an exit strategy. It's more of an endurance plan. And it's an endurance plan that's provided by God himself. Not only does God provide it, he exemplified it. Let's look at the example that Christ set for us, because our Savior does not ask us to do anything he's not walked through himself. Jesus was the ultimate victim. I think we can all agree. He was hated, he was abused, he was falsely accused, tortured, rejected, and in the end, he was killed, the ultimate victimization. He was victimized to the nth degree. He died the worst of the worst suffering. And he didn't deserve any of the things that happened to him. So in 1 Peter 2:13-25, we see Christ, our example, specifically in verses 21-25. Listen to what scripture says here. "For you've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." And some versions say that he kept entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So right here, we get to the core issue. At the core, the victim mentality, that mindset that is constantly focused on what has happened to you, is rooted in unbelief. You're basically saying that you don't believe that God can be trusted. But here we see the example that Christ set. Christ entrusted everything, everything to him who judges righteously. Entrusting is a mindset. Remember, we started out talking about the victim mentality, and remember I said that sometimes there's real victims, people who've been victimized by other people or who have fallen victim to natural disasters, but that those people do not have a victim mentality. That's what Jesus models for us in 1 Peter. A life lived entrusting yourself to the one true God, the God who's sovereign over all things, the God who's not only in control of all things, but is working all things together for good and his glory. So, what does it look like to entrust yourself to God? Even when bosses are cruel or husbands are grumpy or tornadoes tear your roof off, even when the worst of the worst happens to us, we must respond like Jesus responded. Our obedience to God in this is not dependent on the actions or non-actions of the other person. Even then. So here's the thing. It's a choice. It's all a choice. So what's the choice here that you're faced with? How are you going to respond to people sinning against you, to bad situations, to bad weather? How will you respond in a way that honors God? How do we endure? How do we suffer well? First, we got to take responsibility for our own sin. Often the victim mentality minimizes our own wrongdoings in our minds. We think, well, what I did isn't as bad as that, or that person wronged me in such a horrible way, it doesn't matter what I did, but it does matter, and we are responsible. So we've got to bring these things before God, confess our sin, repent, and receive the forgiveness that you have in Christ. And then, my friend, cultivate a heart of gratitude. The victim mentality can make you blind to the abundant blessings in your life. If you're like Peter, you know the story when Jesus called him to get out of the boat and walk on the water, and there was a horrible storm going on, and Peter was walking on the water just fine as long as he was keeping his eyes fixed on Christ. But the second he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the circumstances around him, he started sinking. So if all you look at day in and day out is the terrible circumstances you've experienced or are experiencing, you're going to sink under the waves. But when you fix your eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, everything changes. You know, Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So if you're a Christian, you have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And this means you can be thankful no matter what your circumstances or experiences are. Even more than that, you can rejoice. I know that sounds totally crazy, right? But that's what scripture says, that we can have joy and rejoice even in our sufferings, even if we are real victims, knowing that we're sharing in the suffering of Christ and that our suffering is making us more like Christ. Even how we suffer is important. Again, this is a mindset. So there may be pain. There may be difficult memories. We may have to endure injustice. But this is the part that we get to choose, is how we endure. We don't have to endure with anger or hatred or plotting vengeance towards those who have sinned against us. We don't have to stir that pot of our minds, that pot of memories. We don't have to spend our days recounting all that we lost in the storm. We've got to intentionally and diligently move forward with the hope of Christ and the love of God with our eyes fixed on eternity. Paul says it perfectly in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. He acknowledges the reality of life on this earth, the reality of potential victim situations. But he says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that is far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So now that you know the better way, now that you know what the Bible says about victimhood, put it into practice for your good and God's glory. God in heaven, I want to lift up my sisters today, my sisters who have endured hard things, who have been victimized by the sin of others or the sin of this world. Lord, I pray that you would restore them, strengthen them, and establish them. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in their lives and that you would give them the power to think differently about their circumstances. In your name we pray, amen.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.